Welcome to the New Day Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you are encouraged by this message from the Nichols Road campus. For more info, look us up at newdaycommunity.org.
Well, good morning. I am excited to share the word with you this morning. Today, we start a brand new series for the month of May called Heart Matters. And we're doing this series because your heart matters. It matters so much to God. Proverbs 4:23 explains that everything we do flows from our heart. It's like the emotional root system of our lives. In Matthew 12:33-34, it explains that a tree with good roots produces good fruit, but a tree with bad roots is going to produce bad fruit, and that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so you can see this is going to tie in still with our root, our theme this year of rooted. And we want to be more and more rooted in the matters of the heart. And really, this is something that's been in the New Day culture where we value being emotionally healthy. And so from time to time, we're going to emphasize this so that it remains a high value in our culture. But in this series, we're going to study issues of the heart, explore God's design to heal our soul at the deepest level. And I'm going to use interchangeably the words soul or heart or emotions as I'm speaking. And we're going to discover freedom in Jesus that his healing produces. Amen? So good. So really what we're talking about is sanctification of our heart. It's heart discipleship. Right? Discipleship is the process of the believer becoming more and more like Jesus. And so in this case, more and more like Jesus in our soul. In fact, Christians can't be fully sanctified if their soul is not sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will do it." So God is going to do the sanctification work in you, and our soul is going to be part of that process. All aspects of our personhood need to be sanctified in order for it to be complete. In a book entitled The Emotionally Healthy Church, Peter Scazzaro writes this: "In emotionally healthy churches, people understand how their past affects their present ability to love Christ and others. They've realized from scripture and life experience that a complex relationship exists between the kind of person they are today and their past. Many other influences may shape us, but often the family we have grown up in is the most powerful system that will shape who we are today." And so it's going to take us to have some courage to be able to objectively look at the current state of our heart and to look back at our family of origin and to see how we're doing in this area. And we don't look back in any way to dishonor our parents or those who raised us, not at all. It's just to take an honest evaluation of where we're at, bring it to the Lord, and allow him to heal if there's any areas of brokenness. So Psalm 10:14 says, "But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand." See, God is fully aware of all that's going on inside of you. He's fully aware of any troubles that you're experiencing. And I see as I read through the Bible, there's this theme where God is constantly at work to restore people to himself, to heal them, to restore people groups, to restore nations. It's the nature of what God does. And one of the reasons why he does it is because the troubles that we experience can cause wounds in us that then affect how we live in the future. Because our decisions we make are based off of that wound, not based off of wholeness. We don't want our decisions in our life to be determined because of the wounds. We see an example of this. I noticed as I was reading, it's when the 12 spies go to scope out the promised land. If you're not familiar with this, you can read about it in Numbers chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 1. But all 12 were freed from slavery. All 12 are given the same promise that you know, Israelites, you can go and have this promised land. But 10 came back, and their report showed the state of their heart. It was not trusting God. They were full of fear. They wanted to tuck tail and run. We'd be better off going back to Egypt and back into slavery. But the two spies were able to say, we can do this. The enemies are there, but God is stronger. They weren't making decisions based off of bondage and fear. They were making decisions and seeing life through the lens of healing and wholeness, knowing truly who God is. Those 10 spies needed some healing and restoration before their scouting mission. So when I say healing and restoration, or H&R for short, okay, that is the inner healing ministry that we offer here at New Day. And what it does is it walks someone through heart healing by connecting them with the Holy Spirit. And we have many different prayer tools that we can use depending on the person's situation. So over the course of this month, we'll be focusing on the different prayer tools, and later this morning, I'm going to get to the first one. But first, I want to give you some examples of healing and restoration in the Bible, just to continue forming the basis and the background for this. Okay, Genesis 21:11 through 21 shares this story. So as a boy, Ishmael experienced rejection from his father. And this is actually very common when we meet with someone. Often the foundation of the trouble is in some way they've received some type of rejection, whether it be a father or mother or, you know, a coach or a teacher, someone significant in their life, they've experienced rejection. And so this is very common. So what happens is Ishmael's father sends him and his mother away with some water and some food. He abandons them, and they're in the desert. The food and water are gone, and they're thinking they're going to die, and the boy is crying under a bush. And verse 17 says, God heard the boy crying. God then miraculously provides water for him and his mother. Verse 20 says that God was with the boy as he grew up. So here we have an earthly father who abandons his son, but the truth is he was never abandoned. He was seen and cared for through it all by his perfect heavenly father, and it says he was with him his whole life. He is a father who will never leave you, never forsake you, and will stay with you through it all. Another example of how God is a perfect parent and will never neglect us is found in Isaiah 49, 15, and 16. It says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? But though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. That's the kind of God that we have. He's perfect. Another example is Matthew 21, 12 through 14. It's the account where Jesus enters the temple courts, and he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. And then the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. Okay, follow me here. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you become a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Jesus got rid of the things in the temple that weren't of him. This is healing and restoration. And then he establishes your true name. You're not a den of robbers. You're a house of prayer. He gives you your true identity. And then he ministers healing to the sick and broken. So what areas in you are sick and broken that need Jesus' ministry. So this is a ministry that Bill and I have been a part of for over 20 years, and we've just seen so much amazing fruit come out of it. When people face the matters of their heart and they go through healing and restoration, we've seen couples find hope for their marriage. In fact, that's our testimony through the ministry of healing and restoration. It completely changed us, made us who we are today, but it saved our marriage. We're so grateful. But really, any, whether it be a marital relationship or any relationship between two people, often it comes down to both, if there's a big conflict, it just comes down to both people need healing and restoration because they're poking each other's wounds. We've seen individuals realize their true God-given identity because the Creator is the one who has the right to give identity to His creation. We've seen Christians mature in their relationship with God. They're not getting their buttons pushed so frequently. It just kind of smooths out the roller coaster of life they were experiencing. They have a greater ability to resolve issues in conflict. They're able to more easily notice what factors are contributing to emotional troubles. We've seen them have an increased ability to understand their own emotions and communicate them. A huge benefit. And we've seen time and time again people gain confidence in hearing God's voice. So much good fruit from this ministry. Well, how are you going to know if you need it? Well, one of the biggest clues is by noticing areas in your life where you overreact. Proverbs 27:19 says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. So the way you act in life is going to reflect the state of your heart. Okay, if you bump into my arm and I have a wide open gash, I am going to react really big. Ow, that's painful. If my arm is healthy and you bump into my arm, I'm not going to even notice. And so if we go through life and you're just grazing into my healthy arm, you know, and that's normal, and then suddenly you hit this one and I'm going to overreact. Like, okay, there's a wound there underneath that. And so the way I act will reflect the state of my heart. And here are several examples of how life might look reacting to old heart wounds. I'm just going to give you a lot of examples to just kind of see sort of all the angles that this could look like. So Jake felt rejected growing up, and so that is his wound, rejection, and his reaction to that, he wants to be accepted, so he lies and he's fabricating the truth to try to make himself seem more favorable to others so that they will accept him. Okay, Mary was put down and shamed growing up. She continues that pattern of devaluing herself by accepting that sort of treatment from others as an adult. That's how she's reacting to it. Bob, he had a hard life. He tries to dull the pain and escape from thinking about those hard times by using substances or looking at porn. Julie's life was unstable and out of control as she was growing up. Now she copes in life by always being in control and finds it difficult to follow others or trust that others will be capable. Cole was poor growing up. Even though he's doing fine financially now, he never feels like he has enough, so he's stingy and greedy and worried about money, and he struggles to trust that God will provide. Sue's mother used anger to dominate people. Sue realizes she operates in the same way and can't seem to act differently. Jason made an embarrassing mistake in front of his third grade class. He felt so humiliated that he decided never to put himself in a situation to fail like that again. He struggles with laziness and unproductivity. All of these people can get completely healed and be able to live a healthy life. God can restore the pain that caused their issue, and they can have freedom. So how would you go about receiving this ministry? Well, you can actually reach out to any one of us on the team, which I'm going to have the team stand up. If you're on the Healing and Restoration team, would you stand up? So we have the Devereaux. I don't know where Ray went, but we have Ray and Kathy and Lewis and Joseph and Kelly. Kelly's teaching Sunday school right now. And so this is the current team that's getting trained. Kathy and Bill and I lead it. And so you can reach out to any one of us, but there's the Healing and Restoration waivers are in the spinning display, and you would fill that out, turn it in, and that would start the process of receiving this ministry. And we're going to actually have members from our team share each week this month so that you can hear from them on these topics as well. But you don't have to only receive this through meeting with one of us. As I said, it's part of the culture of New Day. You can pray through these things on your own as you become aware of them and learn how to bring it to the Lord and get freedom. So, as I mentioned, we have lots of prayer tools and resources in our arsenal. And forgiveness is the one that I'm going to highlight for you this morning. Oh, buddy. And we're starting with this one because really forgiveness is the foundation for all healing and restoration ministry. And when we meet with someone, we always begin by teaching the person who's receiving ministry about the topic that we're about to lead them through. And then we'll lead them through the prayer. So that's where I'm going to start this morning as well. So here's what I want you to know about forgiveness. For followers of Jesus, forgiveness is meant to be as common as breathing. It needs to be continually going in and out of us. We breathe in God's forgiveness for us. We breathe out forgiveness to those who have hurt us. When we don't forgive, bitterness grows in our hearts. And we think we're holding the one who wronged us up to justice, but really we're trapping ourselves, keeping the pain of what happened alive. But when we forgive, it allows us freedom to move on from the hurt to the life God intends for us. Forgiveness does not mean that what happened to you is okay. It's not somehow giving it a pass like, oh, that actually didn't matter. No, it mattered. But what you're saying is, Lord, what they did hurt me, but I'm not holding it against them any longer. Any debt owed is between them and you, God. Forgiveness does not mean that you automatically trust the person who wronged you. Trust takes time to rebuild. But know that you always have God who is trustworthy and someone who is safe to put your trust in. We are called to forgive lots and lots and lots of times. Peter asks Jesus how many times he should forgive in Matthew 18:21. And Jesus tells him 70 times seven, not just seven, 70 times seven, Peter. Okay. Forgiving others is just part of the deal. It's part of it when we're following God. Matthew 6:14-15 says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. It's just the way of the kingdom that we live in as believers. The merciful will be shown mercy. Matthew 5:7. All right, I would love to have Joseph, if you're ready, to come on up and share. Joseph is, we'll give him a hand. Joseph and Kelly are members of New Day, and really he was introduced to Healing and Restoration just a couple months ago, right? And had a great encounter with the Lord. I just want him to be able to share with you about it.
Yeah, thanks, Marilee, and thanks for the opportunity to discuss with you and to share with you. So I hope to share kind of two parts this morning. One is as kind of a newer person to the ministry, both receiving it and being trained in it, my kind of first impressions, because a lot of the people here at New Day are familiar with this or it's been around longer. So for me, it's newer, so I can kind of share from that perspective. And then also as experiencing the ministry, both training and providing some of the ministry and also receiving it myself, my experience with that and with the forgiveness prayer or tool as well. So first, kind of first impressions, what I like about it and what kind of surprised me. I've really enjoyed it. I think it's a really great ministry, and I've seen every session that I've been a part of, whether for me or for others, I've seen it be very impactful, very meaningful, and beneficial. So I'm, you know, two thumbs up, I'm liking it. My favorite thing about it is one thing I noticed pretty quickly early on, being kind of in the past having mentoring or other accountability relationships, especially guys to guys, I've noticed here it's kind of like you're going right for it, as opposed to say like, hey, let's meet every day for a year, and hopefully by the end of a year, maybe we've talked about something really meaningful, you know, maybe we've cut through the small talk. But this is like, first things first, we're going right to the big things in your heart, where you need healing, things that are really giving you major issues in your life. And that's, it's efficient. It's like, if we're going to spend some time, let's spend it doing real hard issues. So I like that. I was a little surprised by how systematic it is, how it's built up to be a helpful tool. And which is kind of the tangible benefit that goes along with that, is that there's not really pressure on you having to make it up or invent it yourself. You don't have to find a way to connect with God and provide healing for yourself or for others. There's material that's been put together by people who've been through this that know how to seek God and to provide healing for others. So that's kind of a relief. Another thing, you're always seeking the Holy Spirit's leading and finding the Holy Spirit's leading for people in healing in their lives, before, whether it's beforehand when you're praying over someone that you're going to meet with, during when you're praying with the Holy Spirit, in the discussion, or even after. We're seeking the Holy Spirit's leading in this ministry, which is a good place to be. Then lastly, it's fruitful. There are good fruits that come out of it. There's a really, like, freedom is what Marilee mentioned. And there's just beneficial healing that comes out of each time you press in to work on the hard things in your life and seek healing on the other side. So that's always like an excitement, is like, what's this going to feel like on the other side of this discussion? So for me in particular, with both the H&R ministry and forgiveness, for me, it was also real and impactful. Forgiveness was part of the first session I experienced when I didn't really know what it was, but I did a session with Bill and Marilee, and it was like, we do some sessions for training and we do some sessions for real, and it was a for real one. I was actually working on my issues, which it helped, of course. And so what about that with forgiveness is you get to look honestly about, okay, this thing in the past that I may be holding on to, maybe I didn't know, but I'm holding on to it. How is that affecting me now? And you can kind of look at the ways I'm maybe out of alignment or need to repair my thinking or my heart. How is that coming from this? And how will forgiveness help align that for me? And you get to focus on that. It's not like I was holding something intentionally. It was just that I hadn't focused on that. So that prayer and that focus and discussion helps there. And the number one thing I think I learned about forgiveness in particular, both with the training we've had, and then there was also a training on a Saturday not too long ago about forgiveness in particular. And what stuck out to me is forgiveness is, we sometimes think about it like I'm holding back from something from whoever wronged me. And I'm just deciding when I'll give that gift of forgiveness back to them. But I kind of saw it also as, and maybe even more so, as I've built up this burden for myself that is actually harming me. So when I release that burden, I'm kind of getting that off of myself. It's, yes, it's forgiveness for someone else, but it's also releasing yourself to be more whole and free of that burden that you created for yourself. So like I said, I'm really happy both the sessions individually where they get tangible benefits and also that this ministry is healthy and to be a part of training for it. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Joseph. Awesome. Great job. Okay, so now I just want to walk you through what the forgiveness prayer sounds like. And really, all of the elements in this prayer are the same elements in every single prayer. So this is kind of like a template as you get familiar with this. So the first thing we do is we acknowledge the hurt. Okay, we're going to say, you know, Jesus, this is the situation that hurt me. This is the sin that was committed against me. You know, this is how it's affecting me. So you just kind of lay that before the Lord. Psalm 147:3 says that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So you're telling him, God, this is how my heart was broken. And you're acknowledging that. You can't get freedom from something that you won't look at. Super practical. Unhealthy patterns can easily continue on in your life if they're not acknowledged before the Lord. So we always start with acknowledgement. The second is forgiveness. Lord, I forgive so-and-so for whatever it was. I no longer hold a record of this wrong. I cancel the debt they owed me. Any debt owed is between them and you. Okay, so that's what we're going to do when we forgive. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Then the third thing we do is we confess. Confess, Lord, I confess I've been holding on to this offense. Proverbs 28:7 says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So you're going to confess them before the Lord, and then you're going to repent. And I repent for holding on to it. I repent for the ways I've been living my life based on it. Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And then we will listen and receive the truth from God. We give time for the Lord to speak truth into your heart to the very place where that hurt once lived. So you're going to ask the Lord, God, what do you want to say to the part of my heart that was hurt? What do you want to fill me with instead? And then we have a time of just listening and waiting for the Lord to speak. We use the eyes of our heart, and I really love to give people visuals so they can engage their minds with this, but having them picture Jesus and actually picture themselves giving him the unforgiveness that they held on to, giving him the pain that it caused in them, and then see what truth he gives in return. It's this amazing exchange. And then we also receive. So whatever he reveals to you, then you're going to say, I receive the truth that, and then whatever he said to you, you voice that back to him. But the verse I want to share at this point is Ephesians 5:25-26. This is amazing. Listen to this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. The word is rhema. It's not logos. It's rhema, the spoken word of God that he communicates in the moment through the Holy Spirit to the believer. That's the rhema. And so it's by the rhema that you're going to be sanctified, cleansed, and washed. That's why this is such a key part of healing and restoration. He is going to give you the truth that will heal you. Healing and restoration leaves you with a heart full of truth from God where wounds once lived. Those things that used to call the shots in your life don't anymore. They've been exchanged for the truth that God revealed. And then the sixth piece is we walk it out. We say, Lord, help me to live my life based on the truth that you have shown me today. Philippians 4:6 instructs us to think about the things that are true, that are noble, that are right, that are lovely, that are admirable, that are excellent and praiseworthy. Those are the things we meditate on and carry with us and begin to live our lives according to. I want to share an example of this Rhema experience that completely changed someone's life from the Bible. 2 Kings 6:17-20. It's the account of Elisha and his servant. And here they are. They're surrounded by enemies. And that is what Elisha's servant sees, is the enemies that are surrounding them. But Elisha is able to see, God has shown him what his perspective, what's going on in the spirit, is no, we're actually surrounded by the Lord's horses and chariots. And so when we ask the Lord for truth, it changes everything. And now the servant went from cowering in fear for his life to trusting in the Lord's protection and becoming confident and secure because of the Lord. And that is what is going to happen to you too. When you show me, God, how you see things, and it shifts and changes everything, just like it did for Elisha's servant. The next thing I want to do is address four reservations, I'll call them, that people have shared with me over the years. Because likely some of you may have some of these same apprehensions or reservations in regards to inner healing ministry. So I'll just go ahead and get those out of the way now in case you are thinking these things right in our opening. Okay, the first one is people will say, well, I was raised that emotions don't matter. You know, it was like, put those awkward, unwanted things called emotions aside, you know. And so if that's you and you would tell me that, that's exactly where we would start. By restoring value to that part of you, your soul. Okay, because remember 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24 teaches us that God gives worth to the sanctification of our soul. So we ought to give worth to it as well. And God can restore that in you. The second one is people will say, well, I've prayed through that before. You know, I've done that already. So if I have to pray through the same troubling experience again, does that mean my prayer didn't work before? Can you see how someone would think that? Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is no. What it means is you're ready for the next measure of healing. Amen. Exodus 23:27-30 explains this dynamic. It's when the Israelites are taking possession of the promised land, okay, taking possession of their freedom. And the Lord says to them, little by little, I will drive out your enemies before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. I will not drive them out in a single year because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. And so the way that God works when he's giving us freedom, like he gave them freedom here, is he gives you a measure of freedom, and then you increase and fill it, and you learn to live in that space. And then he gives you more. He doesn't just give you a whole thing. It's you can't occupy it that fast. And so this is what I've seen over and over again, where he'll take you deeper. A couple years later, suddenly you're able to go deeper in this area of freedom. But it in no way belittles the ground you gained before. Okay? And then the third one is people may say, God dealt with all of this on the cross. Why do I need to, you know, the old things are gone. All things have become new. You know, they'll tell me that verse. And to answer that, to speak to that reservation, I'm actually going to share a paraphrase from Pastor Cameron's blog this week. He actually spoke directly to this reservation, and so I'm going to share this with you. He wrote, "This idea that all sin and brokenness was dealt with when Jesus said, 'It is finished' on the cross, misapplies the truth that what Jesus did on the cross was a finished work. It is true that Christ's death fully paid for our sin and has the power to free whoever accepts Jesus as Lord. But it is also true that we must diligently work that truth into every crack and crevice of our lives. The application of this being worked out through the church and in the lives of Christ's followers fills the pages of the New Testament." I encourage you to read the whole blog post if you haven't already. But Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting." If it was all dealt with, this wouldn't be the heart posture that we are supposed to have. We're supposed to maintain this heart posture of, hey, point out what offends you in me. Make my heart pure and holy. And so we want to work to apply it to every area of our life. All right, and then the fourth one is, I have a lot of empathy for people when they share this with me. Why would I want to go through that emotional pain again, Marilee? What are you suggesting? Facing it again is the last thing that I want to do, actually. But the truth is, it's worth it. It is worth it so you don't have to constantly live your life doing a workaround from your heart wounds. Because you got to navigate them if they're there. Because when a situation comes up in life that ties in any way to the old pain, you have to navigate the layers of anxiety or fear or control or negativity that goes along with them. It's an exhausting way to live. You're not free to live the abundant, full life that God has available for you. It's like being the Israelites who were stalling on the edge of the promised land. Joshua said to the Israelites in Joshua 18:3, "How long will you wait before you take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you?" John 10:10 says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." See, we must possess the freedom that God has available for us. He's saying, come on, what are you waiting for? Inhabit the land. Face the enemies. My power will strike them down. You don't have to stay stuck on the edge while the enemies of insecurity, passivity, control, worry, fear, hatred occupy the space where your freedom could be. Well, I hope this morning that I have been able to express to you how much your heart matters to God and how much the sanctification of your soul is meant to be a part of the package. It's supposed to be sanctified along with all other aspects of our personhood. And so I want to challenge you, church, that this month, would you take this challenge to look honestly at your emotional state and bring before the Lord the wounds that are still affecting how you live? You know, this, we sense that this is really the time for this. God is highlighting us through prophetic words and has confirmed it through the fruit that we're seeing, that it's the season to take a look at this and bring it before the Lord. And the Holy Spirit's already begun to stir it in the hearts of the people to desire this. And so we just want to acknowledge that this is what God has his hand on, one of the things he has his hand on right now. And so we want to engage with this so that we can all be whole and offer that wholeness to others who are a part of our community, who God's going to bring to us, and the other people in life that you interact with. Amen. All right. Well, Bill, I'll hand it off to you to close us.
Thanks, Marilee. Okay, go ahead and stand up. I have a couple of closing announcements, and I'll dismiss you in a second. But as Marilee was sharing, I was just realizing, like, I feel that a primary tactic of Satan is divide and conquer. And so in culture right now, in the world and country we live in 2024 especially, you see division all around you, right? Polarization is maybe the word we hear a lot. It's a divide and conquer, to divide people from one another. But there's another way that the enemy divides and conquers. He wants to divide and conquer your heart, who you are. If he can make you rational and deny emotional, you know what I mean? If he can make you theoretical and deny day-to-day messiness of life, or vice versa, whatever it is, you know, he's dividing you to conquer you. But what Marilee shared this morning is that you're a whole person. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. All those aspects of you are important to the Lord. He loves all of those parts of you. And when we are set free in him, all those parts of us get to be whole, and it feels so good. I'm not saying I live it out like in its fullness every day, but when I get that, it is so good. And then we're offering worship to the Lord that is wholehearted. We give him our whole devotion. And so let's be a community of believers that is not divided from one another and not divided from certain parts of ourself. So can we just pray into that as we close up today? God, thank you for the words that Marilee shared. She did such a good job just setting this table for us of your heart for healing and restoring. Our little ministry here is called Healing and Restoration because you heal and restore. And God, would you do a work in this world, in this church, in Kalamazoo, and in each of our hearts that prevents dividing and conquering by the enemy, that brings together, that puts together a diverseness that's in unity, that is beautiful and amazing, that's full of your spirit. God, you are what holds it all together. And would you hold together my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Why don't you guys just say that in your own prayer? Say, God, would you put together my heart, soul, mind, and strength? And if you're brave enough, say this prayer to the Lord. God, I give you permission this month to get in the nooks and crannies and to bring to the surface the things that are holding me back.